Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Sullis. Finish school and not sure what's next? Explore further education and training options at thisisfet.ie.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1.
In recent weeks, we've been taking a closer look at a whole series of significant elections taking place this autumn around the world. Graham Finlay, lecturer in the School of Politics and International Relations at UCD, has been telling us about Sweden, Italy, Brazil. Today, we're going to look at the upcoming Israeli election, which is just a week away now. Good morning to you, Graham. Thank you for being here. Before we come to Israel, we want to go back to the most recent election you were telling us about, Brazil, because a lot has been happening there. Can you just bring us up to date?
Yeah, I mean, it was a result which flabbergasted lots of people, including all the pollsters in Brazil, where they were forecasting big leads for Lula, the sort of left-wing candidate, over Jair Bolsonaro, the right-wing candidate. And it was actually much closer. Now, it was 48.4% to Lula, 43.2% to Bolsonaro, but that was a huge swing. That was much more than the margin of error. Mm-hmm. And what seems to have happened is a lot of the undecideds, which we hadn't talked about, because you don't know where they're going to go, but they did shift to Bolsonaro. And many of them might have seen those polls saying that Lula might even get in on the first count.
Yes.
Which was, you know, less likely than what we got, but still was being talked about. They might have seen that and been determined not to have him go straight in and vote for Bolsonaro to sort of keep Lula out. Mm-hmm. So, and then the other part of it is, Bolsonaro did better than the Workers' Party in terms of the Chamber of Deputies or the Senate and key governorships. So regardless of what happens in the upcoming runoff, it's going to be very hard for him to get his policies through.
Yes, because we have this almost split right down the middle, and the runoff is on at the end of the month, on the 30th of October. Now let's turn to Israel, and this is the latest in a whole series of recent elections in Israel, isn't it?
Yeah, they've had something like 5 elections in the last 4 years. It's a lot like Northern Ireland in many ways. The political system really isn't working. Governments need to get a 61 seats out of the 120 seats in the Knesset. And there are many, many, many parties which keep changing their name. They can form coalitions, but nobody can get a majority, and it's actually hard to put a majority together. And so the latest government, which collapsed when various members left for quite minor reasons, was a coalition of a whole bunch of parties which only agreed about one thing, which was to keep former Prime Minister Benjamin Bibi Netanyahu out of power. Mm-hmm. And that's not a great basis for governing, and so it proved to be.
So the key issue then in this election, is there one?
There is. It's, again, a bit like Northern Ireland. Even though the housing crisis they have, Tel Aviv was voted the most expensive city in the world the year before, and is now second compared to Hong Kong. The rising cost of living, ordinary economic issues are important to Israelis, but it's overshadowed by all the sort of conflicts which are characterizing Israeli society. The conflict between Jewish Israelis and Arab Israelis, because there was some very serious intercommunal violence in May 2021, which has still kind of rocked Israeli society. Conflict between Israel and the Palestinians, and then, wider conflicts with Iran and the rest of the world. So they're happily, like Sweden, they had an English language debate among the parties, which is for the benefit of people like me, but also for English-speaking Israelis who may have recently moved there. And the questions would have seemed kind of strange to people who don't live in Israel. So, given that Iran is the world's greatest state sponsor of terrorism, should Israel bomb it alone or should it work together with the United States? Was one of the questions they answered.
So tell me about this person who is arguably the most popular politician in Israel. He leads the extreme right-wing party. Tell me about
it. Yeah, this is really the story of the elections. Again, there's been a lot of violence between settlers moving into places like East Jerusalem, neighborhoods like Sheikh Jarrah, which people will have heard of, also engaging in violence in the West Bank. Itamar Ben-Gvir is the leader of the Otzma Yehudit party, which is an extreme nationalist party. He came up by sort of stealing the hood ornament off of Yitzhak Rabin's Cadillac as a teenager and saying, "We got to his car, we'll get to him too." And of course, Rabin was assassinated a few weeks later. Mm-hmm. He arose in the absolutely extremist Koch party and Kahanist movement, which was eventually outlawed for domestic terrorism, as you can imagine with that reputation. He's made his entire career defending people who've been accused of being part of banned organizations or of acts of domestic terror. He is Netanyahu's coalition partner, and he is arguably the most popular politician in Israel. And there was recently video of him at one of these clashes in Sheikh Jarrah, pulling out a gun and shouting at the police nearby to shoot any Palestinian citizens who threw stones at them. Mm-hmm. So he's a very extreme figure, and yet he's extremely popular. And I think that shows how the violence which characterizes Israeli life and Israel's relationship with its neighbors has really driven the sort of Jewish Israelis to be much more Jewish nationalist and much more focused on security. Because although he's moderating his stances, Ben-Gvir is talking about expelling all Arab Israelis.
So what are the polls telling us about how he's likely to do and the other parties who are running?
Well, he looks like he'll be quite a junior partner to Netanyahu in this coalition. The Likud party, which Netanyahu's represented for ages, is going to get the most seats of any party. It's a closed list proportional representation system. So parties come up with lists. People vote for a party, and it's only one constituency. It's the whole country is a constituency. So basically, they just go down the list. But no, Likud will get a bunch of seats. Ben-Gvir's party and coalition, the Religious Zionist Coalition, will get a bunch of seats. And then,
just to go back to that, the voters vote for the party rather than the individual. Is that how it works?
They vote for the party. And now the leader is at the top of the list. So you are voting for the leader, and that plays a big role. But yes, you don't get to choose. You can't pick and choose among the various party members. And again, it's only one constituency. So, you know, it really does. It's such a small country, both geographically and in mm-hmm. some other ways as well.
So the appeal, the charisma, the leadership of the leaders of the parties is hugely important in a system like that.
It can really, really move the dial. And it's probably why they have so many different parties. I mean, parties are constantly splitting, and charismatic figures are going off to lead their own parties, which can then displace other parties. So, for example, take Yesh Atid, which is the main opposition party. It's led by Yair Lapid, who is a former anchorman and songwriter and actor and all sorts of things. You know, he wants to focus on sort of economics issues and things like that. But, you know, both he and the former leader of the Yamina party, which was his alternate prime minister in the last government, you know, had served in Netanyahu's cabinets. And so it's very, very, it's very, very complicated the way things go around. Mm-hmm. But basically what we're looking at is Ben-Gvir and Netanyahu will not have enough seats to come even close to 61 seats. So they're going to need to find some other parties to go in with them. And there was this tremendous movement against Netanyahu. But if, say, Benny Gantz's Blue and White coalition go in, or the coalition led by Benny Gantz's Blue and White party goes in with them, they might be getting towards it. The real problem is the opposition is so hopelessly fractured that it's unlikely they'll put another anti-Netanyahu coalition together. And they only had 61 seats the last time. And this is why we're here now.
Okay, well, you'll be back with us soon, Graham. Thank you very much. We'll leave that one there. That's Graham Finley. Now, personal finance expert Owen McGee will be here with us tomorrow. And you can send in your questions for Owen today. So if you have questions about balancing your household budget, your tax liability on the PUP, mortgage switching, investments, or anything else that Owen might be able to help you with, now is the time to sit down and compose that email and send it to todaycb@rte.ie, and we'll put those questions to personal finance expert Owen McGee tomorrow.
Today with Claiborne. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.